it's that time of year again when we hear the familiar songs. And every year we again hear this familiar story of a cold night long, long ago in the little town of Bethlehem. After an exhausting journey of nearly a week, a man knocks on the door of an inn. The young woman with him is about to give birth, and they need shelter right away. But the inn is full, so the innkeeper offers what he can, a stable round back. There they spend the night, and there the child is born. The innkeeper's people, the Israelites, had a long tradition of making room for the weary traveler. From their own history of exile and wandering in the desert, they understood the life-giving power of the simple notion of welcoming the stranger. A simple notion. But like a Picasso painting, the more you look into it, the more you see. Welcoming the stranger can start with tolerance and expand all the way to love. Welcoming the stranger in tolerance is the weakest form of human relating, and love is the greatest form. Welcoming the stranger can range from passive to active and all the degrees in between. Passive welcoming can look like this. A transgender person walks into the church and takes a seat next to you, and you let her. Active welcoming looks like this. You reach out to that person and let her know who you are, and also let her know that you are very interested in who she is. Passive welcoming can look like this. A teenage boy tells his parents that he is gay. Instead of kicking him out of the house, which happens more frequently than we want to admit, the parents say nothing, and it is never spoken of again. Active welcoming can look like this. The parents, upon hearing the news, join their local chapter of PFLAG. Do you know what PFLAG is? Parents and family and friends of lesbian and gays. They talk to their son frequently about his feelings about being gay and how other people are treating him. Henry Nguyen, the leading Catholic theologian, uses the word confrontation to describe this active end of welcoming. Now, he doesn't mean confrontation as aggression. He means rather the willingness to step up and be face to face, to be intimate, and to accept each other for the truth that they really are. And isn't that, after all, what love is? Welcoming the stranger, you can think of it as a continuum. How far along the welcoming continuum are you willing to go with a stranger? With someone whose sexual orientation is different from yours? With someone whose race is different from yours? Each of us, I know, is willing to be welcoming up to a point. We will welcome the transgender man who lives next door, but we may feel uncomfortable with a transgender minister. We can accept the teacher who is lesbian, but may not want our son playing with that boy down the street who wears fingernail polish. We are okay with our brother telling us that he's gay, but when our best friend tells us he's gay, we feel a little anxious. We can all be welcoming up to a point. What is that point for you? One of the chapters from my family's folklore is the story of my father's arrival into this country from Korea in 1961. He came to a tiny ranching town in the Texas Panhandle because, he says, that's where he found the cheapest university. My mother soon joined him, and they were married in that tiny town, and my brother was born just over the border in Oklahoma. During those early years, my family was befriended by a local couple who were helpful and charitable in many, many ways. There are photos of the families and cheerful stories to go along with them. Eventually, my family moved to Ohio, where my parents still live. And until recently, I thought that was the end of a happy story. But there's more. My father told me that after he graduated and established himself as the science teacher at the local high school, his relationship with that couple changed. It seemed to my father that they didn't know how to have a relationship with him as an equal member of the community. They were comfortable with him when they were the givers, the rescuers, and he was the needy one, but they could not confront him face to face, person to person. Now, these Texans were wonderful, generous people. They went out of their way to be more than merely tolerant of my father. They extended their welcome by helping him to find a job, helping him to find an apartment. They helped him deal with the immigration office to get my mother and then eventually me into this country. But after my father had lived there for several years, he no longer needed that kind of help. What he needed was a friend. But my father was too much of a stranger for that. They had indeed welcomed him up to a point. And so what's wrong with that? What's wrong with stopping where they stopped? Why isn't that enough? And that's a very fair question. If we're talking about secular values such as responsible citizenship, being a good neighbor, then I'd say there's nothing wrong with stopping there. In fact, I'd say they had gone above and beyond their obligation and duty. But I urge you not to stop there. Our desires go beyond doing our duty as good citizens. Our deepest desires are for a whole and integrated life. Wholeness that comes from mending together the ragtag pieces of our own selves that we have either abandoned or never knew. We long to discover and befriend the stranger within ourselves, a stranger unmet, unacknowledged, unwelcomed. In his poem, Love After Love, the Nobel laureate Derek Walcott describes how it will be when this desire is finally realized. With elation, you will greet yourself arriving at your own door, in your own mirror. And each will smile at the other's welcome and say, sit here, eat. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you ignored for another, who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit. Feast on your life. Imagine a mirror in front of you right now. See yourself in that mirror. Can you imagine greeting yourself with elation? Can you imagine bringing forth the forgotten parts, the shunned parts, the parts you hid away in shame. Can you imagine loving again the stranger whom you have ignored? I don't know anyone who can do that perfectly and fully. There is always some part of ourself that we don't want to see. The stranger hidden in self remains veiled and distant. And so it is not surprising that when we are faced with the strange other, we react to her as we react to the strange self, the stranger in self, greeting her not with elation, but with distance, wariness, and caution. If we want to greet ourselves with elation, we must greet the other likewise. For how can we love the stranger in ourselves without loving the stranger out there? And if we love that strange other, then we will begin to love the stranger in ourselves. So as we strive to move from merely tolerating diverse people around us to having close contact with them, we may start to feel uncomfortable, challenged, even disturbed. Know that the source of that discomfort is not the other person. Rather, it is the part of you which you have treated as the stranger. This may all sound very counterintuitive, but the way to personal wholeness is through close encounters with the strange other. A college student walks into a very conservative mainline Protestant church. He wears no shoes, just jeans and a t-shirt. The service has already started, and so he looks around for a seat, and he goes straight down the middle aisle. The young man gets closer and closer to the pulpit before he realizes there aren't any seats up front either. So he just sits down right in the aisle, right on the floor. From the back of the church, the elderly deacon, dressed in his three-piece suit and gold watch, using a cane, starts making his way slowly down that center aisle toward the young man. Well, you can't blame him for what he's about to do. How can you expect a man of his age to understand some college kid sitting on the floor? It takes him a long time to reach the student. All activity in the sanctuary has stopped until the deacon does what he has to do. When he finally gets up there with great difficulty, the deacon lowers himself and sits down to worship alongside this young man. The minister, when he finally speaks, says, What I'm about to preach to you today, you may not remember, but what you saw here today, surely you will never forget. I know what I'm inviting you to do is not easy. In a way, it's easier to deal with matters of equality and fairness, like our efforts to defeat the marriage amendment this fall. The work we're challenged to do now is soul work. It's about facing each other in loving confrontation. There are many obstacles to practicing this kind of active welcoming. One is thinking that there's really nothing more to know about ourselves. I don't have any hidden parts, no stranger in self. And there's nothing really new to know about the other. It is not knowing and not wanting to know. It's an intentional turning away from the stories of both the strange other and the stranger within. The other obstacle to the practice of active welcoming is thinking that spiritually, life isn't going to get any better than this. Now, materially, you may get a better job and move into a bigger house, but some people think that in terms of their spiritual life, it's kind of, this is the best it's going to be. It's a voice inside that says, I am never going to feel that wholeness and vitality of life that the ministers keep talking about. Both of these obstacles stem from a failure of imagination. Albert Einstein is one of our favorite unlikely theologians. He considered imagination to be more important than knowledge, for knowledge is limited to all we know now and understand, while imagination embraces the entire world and all that ever will be to know and understand. Many of you may have seen in last week's paper that there was a deep sea survey. An international team of marine experts found hundreds of previously unknown species of marine life, including one furry crab so new and out of the realm of existing knowledge that they had to invent a brand new taxonomic family. What turns us scientists on, one researcher said, is we go down there and we find something that ought to be impossible. If you think that you've already discovered all there is to know about yourself, and if you think that you know everything that you want to know about LGBT people and people of color, and if you think that your life right now is as good as it's ever going to be, then you will make that your reality. Cutting yourself off from imagining the possibilities, shielding yourself from being surprised by grace. And I tell you, don't do it. Don't do it, because there is more self-discovery and wholeness and fullness of life waiting for you than you can ever know. There is another obstacle to practicing active welcoming, and that is fear. A progressive synagogue in New York was struggling with a bylaws change that would formally identify them as a welcoming and affirming congregation. The resolution did not pass. Members feared that they would become known as the gay synagogue, that gay and lesbian Jews from all over would flock to their congregation, upsetting their, quote, companionable equilibrium, and forever altering the social chemistry that had been established over the years. No one can predict exactly how a communal practice of active welcoming will change the social chemistry in this congregation. Because, according to Henry Nguyen, every time a host allows himself to be influenced by his guests, he takes a risk, not knowing how they will affect his life. But it is exactly in common searches and shared risks that new ideas are born, that new visions are revealed, and new roads become visible. We need those strangers in our lives. We need them because they often mirror the stranger within. But it's not always easy to find opportunities to interact with different people. Many of us have social routines that keep our orbits close to people who are very much like us. Active welcoming pushes us to diversify those routines, pushes us to diversifying our lives. Every year, I attend one or two gatherings of the Asian Pacific Islander Caucus of Unitarian Universalists. This year's caucus is going to be held in February in Washington, D.C., and I'm really looking forward to it. I go to these events because I need to see myself reflected in the faces of Asian UUs. But I also need to put myself in situations where I am challenged and I feel uncomfortable, where I can confront the stranger in order to confront the stranger within myself. Several years ago, I did this by getting close to a transgender person. Now, since there are only two pronouns in the English language, I'll call this person him, although he identifies as neither male nor female. When I first started spending time with this person, I felt uncomfortable, not wanting to say anything that would be insulting or insensitive. But later, I began to come to the realization that part of the discomfort came from the fact that he was mirroring my own in-between identity. Neither Korean nor American, somewhere in between. Now, this is something that I had struggled with all through my adult years, but this being with this other person helped me to see that I still had some work to do. And we still have some work to do here in this wonderful spiritual community. We are very, very welcoming, way past the point of mere tolerance. But now is the time to do the inner work, to mend our lives, to make them whole, to integrate the ragtag pieces of our disparate selves. It's just about the hardest thing a human being can do, and it is the most fulfilling. The hard work has already started. Our welcoming congregation committee has been planning and preparing for months, and they have set aside a time and a place for you to join them in this soul work. You all have the bright green brochures that tell you that at the end of February, we're going to open up these groups for all of you. I hope that you will all join in and bring along that stranger within. Who knows what surprises we will find in the deep waters of welcoming. May it be so. Amen.